Today's daf is daf Gimel Amid Aleph. We'll start with the last two words on daf Beis Amid Beis. Elamei Ato, the Gemara is asking a kasha now on Rav. Rav understood that the Chachamim disqualify a Korah that's above Esrim Amma based on an equation to the Pesach of the Heichal. So the Gemara asks Elamei Ato, if your equation is a tight equation between Pesach HaHeichal and Pesach HaMavui, then Lo Sehani Le Amaltura, something called an Amaltura, we'll explain what that is as we go along, is going to be disqualified. Now, we're going to prove later on that this entity called an Amaltura will save a Korah that's above Esrim Amma. However, according to Rav's logic, Amaltura should be meaningless. Why? Even though the Heichal itself had an Amaltura, the Gemara is going to prove that the Ulam, the Pesach Ulam, had an Amaltura, and by equation, the Pesach HaHeichal also had an Amaltura on top. And nevertheless, the maximum height that was allowed for the Pesach HaHeichal was only Esrim Amma. Whereas, we're going to prove that in a case of an Amaltura, even if the Korah is above Esrim Amma, nevertheless, the Korah is valid. Disnan, how do we know that the Pesach HaHeichal had an Amaltura? And we're going to quote now a Mishnah in the third parak of Masechta Midos, and it says there, Chamesh Amalturos Shel Mila Hoyu Al Gabav Zulam Alamizu V'Zulam Alamizu. The subject of this Mishnah in Masechta Midos is the Pesach HaUlam. As we said yesterday, you go in through the Ulam, and deeper in, you go through the Pesach HaHeichal to enter into the Heichal. And the Mishnah tells us that there were rows of Mila. Mela is a kind of a blita shel eitz alon, a kind of a very fancy tree. And they set up steps that went from right to left. That means they were horizontal steps, so to speak, one on top of the other. It was a very beautiful kind of decoration with a very expensive wood. And that was set up on the top of the Pesach HaUlam. And the Gemara is now going to point out that if each one of these Amaltaros was one on top of the other, so what's the Gemara's kasha? Hi, my tufta. What is the kasha? Dilma kitanya ahid amaltaros ulam tanya. After all, Rav is explaining the shitas chachamim. The chachamim are going to derive the maximum height of a mavui, of a korah, as esrim amma from the Pesach HaHeichal. So why are you quoting me a Mishnah that describes the amaltaros in the ulam? And the Gemara says, hi, my kash, I'll tell you what the kash is based on. Dilma tavnis heichal ketavnis ulam. That we have a tradition that was transmitted from one generation to the other, that the structure of the heichal paralleled that of the ulam. And therefore the assumption is that just like there were amaltaros in the on top of the Pesach ulam, so too there were amaltaros on the top of the Pesach heichal. And now, we're going to begin to understand the Gemara's Kasha against Rav. Alama Amarav Eloi Amarav. Rabbi Eloi says in the name of Rav himself that there are two halachas that apply to a Korah. The first halacha is Rechava Arba Afal Pishein Abriya, that if the width of the Korah is 4 tefachim, even if it's Eino Bria, which means it's not strong enough to hold up a kind of a half a brick, which we'll talk about later, that's called an Ariach, then it's Kshera. Then we can qualify and validate the Korah. So when we talk about the width of a Korah, we have to divide between the width of a korah that's less than 4 tvachim. In that case, we're going to need a very strong korah. But if it's got the width of 4 tvachim, then it could even be a weak korah. And all this we'll discuss later on. And number two, the second halacha that Rabbi Eloi quotes in the name of Rav is im yeshla amal Torah, afilu gavah yosem esrim ama eno tzarch lemait. For some magical unknown reason, which in Yirtzeh Hashem we're going to reveal soon, in the case where the Korah has on top of it an amal Torah, some sort of fancy decoration, then even if the Korah was placed at a height that's higher than 20 amma, Rav says, the Korah as is valid and it qualifies to be Mesakin the Mavui. Now, we have the Kasha. How could Rav say that the Chachamim, Pasel, Esrim, Lamalami, Esrim, Amma, in the Korah of a Mavui because of the equation to Pesach HaHechal, and then go ahead and say, but if there's an Amal Torah on top of the Korah, then the Korah is valid, even Lamalami, Esrim. After all, if we go back to the model of the Hechal, the Pesach HaHechal, it had Amal Toros, as we saw in the Mishnah in Midos, with the equation between Pesach HaUlam and Pesach HaHechal. And yet, the maximum height of the Pesach HaHechal was 20 Amma, not 1 inch beyond 20 Amma. So you see that Amal Toros is not going to be valid, even if you add this beautiful decoration to the Korah, if the Korah is above 20 Amma. And the reason why the Hechal had to have a Pesach that was below Esrim Amma, or up to, but not beyond Esrim Amma, is despite the fact that there are Amal Toros, there's an absolute requirement of up to and not beyond Esrim Amma, the Gova of the Pesach Hechal. And by virtue of the equation, the same thing should apply to the Pesach, HaMavui, meaning the Korah, which has got to be up to but not beyond Esrim Amma in height from the ground. And yet, oddly enough, Rav is quoted as saying that if there are maltaros on top of the Korah is valid, even lamala me Esrim Amma. So the Gemara answers, there's no contradiction between the two statements of Rav. Amar Rav Yosef, amaltara masnisahi. This halacha that we're quoting in the name of Rav, that an Amal Torah is valid and validates the Pesach HaMavui even if it's above Esrim Amma, that's not Rav himself. That was only Rav quoting a Braisa. As far as Rav himself is concerned, Ein Hachi Nami, since we have this analogy to the Pesach HaHechal, Amal Toros is not going to help me above Esrim Amma. Rav quoted a Braisa, but that Braisa is not necessarily reliable. Rav doesn't have to agree with that Braisa. The Gemara now clarifies the source of this braisa. Man katani lil. Where is this braisa coming from? Some braisos are reliable, and they come from a very good source. Others are what's called mishubeshes. They're not a reliable braisa. So maybe this braisa that is machshir a mavi lamala v'yesher mam in the case of Amalta, maybe that comes from a braisa mishubeshes and in an unreliable braisa. Amar Abaye. This is not a Braisa Mishubeshes. This is a genuine Braisa that has a tradition. It stands on the shoulders of a great Chama Brei de Rabba. So the Gemara now is going to go back to its cash on Rav. Vitehevi Amaltara Masnisa. Now that we have a Braisa that says you could be Machshir, a Mavui, the Korah of which is above Esrim Amma if it has an Amaltara, and that's based on a Braisa. And this Braisa is a reliable Braisa. Vitikshe l'Rav. This is going to be a contradiction to Rav, who would argue that even in a case of an Amaltara, it's got to be up to, but not beyond, the height of Esrim Amma as we derive from the Pesach HaHechal, which had an Amalta, and yet it was up to Esrim Amma. Omelecha Rav, Dal Anobi Hacha. Take me out of this picture, so to speak. That's an idiomatic phrase. It means that I wouldn't have said that the Chachamim should derive their conclusion from Pischo Shalulam, Masnisa Milo Kasha Hadodi. You don't have to put me into the picture in order to draw the conclusion that the Chachamim in our mission against Rabbi Yehud, of course, that invalidate a Korah that's above Esrim Amos based on an equation to Pischo Shalhechal, don't blame me for that. Masniyosa Milo Kasha Hadodi. I'm going to prove to you from a Braisa that the Rabbanon are based on an equation, the Rabbanon and Mavui are based on an equation to Pesach HaHechal. And this was the Brice that we learned in yesterday's shiur on Daf Beis Amid Beis, quote, Mavui shu gavah me'esrim ama yosem mi'pischo shel hechal yemai. So we see clearly that the Chachamim are based on the underlying logic of an analogy between the Mavui and the Pischo shel hechal. And now you have a contradiction from another Brice, because the Braisa says that in the case of an Amaltara, the Mavui and the Korah on top of the Mavui is kosher, and it creates a Tikkun Mavui, even if the Korah is above Esrim Amo. Elamai Yisron Lameimar, we have no choice but Tanoihi. That there are two Braises and there are two opinions. And that's the only way you could reconcile these two Braises, is therefore the Dinami Tanoihi. I also understood that this is a machlokas tanoi. I accepted the opinion that the Chachamim derived their conclusion that lamala be'esrim amo and mavui is possible because of the equation to pischo shel hechal. That's the logic that I attributed to the Chachamim, and that's certainly one shita, as we had a brisa on daf beis and beis that says so explicitly. And eirachinami, according to my understanding, which is one of the tanoim, the brisa liel, it would be true that Amasla would not salvage a Korah that was above Esrim Amo. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Omar, below Divrei Rav, Masniyosa Adodi Lokashon. If not for Rav, there would be no stira between the two Brisos. And even though the Rabbanon would qualify, they would be machshir a mavui with a korah above esrim amo if there's an amalter on top, that's not a problem, and I can square that with the brisa, meaning the brisa liel on daf beis amid beis. Why? The rabbanon korah my taima my. What is the underlying logic of the disqualification of a Korah if it's above Esrim Amo? And for that matter, what is the whole purpose of a Korah? And how does it create a Tikkun Mavui? And it has nothing to do with Pesach HaHechal. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak never accepted that analogy to Pesach HaHechal. But Mishum HaKeira, we want people to walk into the Mavui and see the Korah. That's called HaKeira. When they visually notice, make note of the Korah. And that separates the Mavui from Rishus HaRab, and that's the whole purpose of Tikkun Mavui. And up to what height is there Hakera? And the Gemara presents a psychological principle that a person is only aware of something within 20 Amos. If it's above 20 Amos in the height, then he's not even aware of it. It's too high above him. His eyes don't go up that far. And therefore, the Rabbanon disqualify a Korah that's above 20 Am. V'hai d'ktoni, the Braisa says, Yoser mi pischo shel hechal, that if the Mavui has a Korah that's above Esrim Amo, then it's above the Pesach HaHechal, and therefore it's possible. No. L'simona bi'alma. That's only for a simon, to give us a mnemonic device that we should know that the height of the Korah should be nothing more than 20 Amah. It shouldn't be 30 Amah, 40 Amah. And therefore, the Braisa mentions that it should be similar to the Gova, to the height of the Pesach HaHechal. But not that the Pesach HaHechal is the source from which we derive the conclusion that a Korah above 20 Amah is possible. That the reason why a Korah above 20 Amah is possible is because there's no Akera. And what could mollify, or shall we say, mitigate against the lack of Hekera, the absence of Hekera, if it's above 20 Amma? That's called Amaltara. Because the Amaltara catches a person's eye, and he'll notice it, he'll take notice of it, even if it's above, even if it's above 20 amma, as we're going to discuss in the next sugya when the Gemara asks my amalta. But first, the Gemara wants to know the following. We have a machlokas shin chachom and Rabbi Yudin, our Mishnah, about a korah that's above esrim amma, and we have a machlokas that parallels that at the beginning of Masechta Sukkah, as we mentioned yesterday, in the case where the schach is above esrim amma, the chachomim pasul such a sukkah, rabbanon say it's kosher. Now, the reason why the chachomim at the beginning of sukkah disqualifies sukkah if the schach is above esrim amma is a three-way machlokas at the beginning of Masechta Sukkah. There are many possible explanations for the chachomim. According to Rav, apparently, the reason for the chachomim in Mavli, we said, is because we need a Pesach, and we're going to derive Pesach from Pescho Shel Heichal, and that gives us a maximum height of 20 amos. Clearly, the machlokes between the chachomim and the Rav Yudin Sukkah has nothing whatsoever to do with Mavli. It's totally irrelevant. I mean, there's no halacha of Sukkah of the Schach has to be related to a Pesach, so that concept of Pesach is totally irrelevant. But according to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, who says that what underlies the Chachamim in disqualifying a Korah above Esrim Amma, that's because there's no Hekera. And then Rabbi Yehuda holds that even above Esrim Amma there's Hekera. If that be the case, then it would seem that the Machlokes between Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda at the beginning of Sukkah about a Schach above Esrim Amma would be identical to our Machlokes. Is there Hekera? Will you notice the Sukkah, the Schach, if it's above Esrim Amma? So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Hanicha ilo svirle ha-deraba, ela isvirle ha-deraba. If Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak will accept one of three possible explanations for why Lamala mi Esrim is possible in Sukkah according to the Chachamim, and that one that they would that Rav Nachman would accept is that of Rabba, the Omer Rabba, Rabba says, Laman yedu dorasechem ki basukos so shafti es b'nei Yisrael. And we have to know for all generations that God placed us in the sukkah. Ad Esrim Amma, if you're sitting in a sukkah, and the schach, which is the sukkah itself, that's the essence of the sukkah, is the schach, is up to Esrim Amma, is Adam Yodea Shu Dar B'sukkah. He's aware of the fact that he's living in a sukkah, because he sees the schach. But Lamalam Esrim Amma, Ein Adam Yodea Mishum Lo Shaltum Eina, because the eye doesn't travel a height of Esrim Amma, is Alma de Gabi Sukkah Nami Bekera Pligi. If we accept the understanding of Rabba, the Machlok Shin Rabbi Yudin Chachamim about Lamala Me Esrim in Sukkah is again reduced to the question of Hekera. Does a person see above Esrim Amma or only up to Esrim Amma? Is it Flugi Vetarte Lovely? Why does the Mishnah feel compelled to repeat the Machlokes between Rabbi Yehudin Chachamim in Mavui in Sukkah? It's an identical machlokas. Is there shalta ba'ena? Is there hakera above Esrim Amma? Now, if on the other hand, Rav Nachman Yitzchak would accept a different explanation of the Chachamim and the Psula Malam Esrim Amma, then it's a different kind of machlokas. But for the time being, we would like to square off Rav Nachman Yitzchak with Rabba, which means that the issue at Sukkah is hakera, which is identical to the issue of Mavui. So the Gemara answers, Utsricha, I need both Mishnais, recording both debates between Rabbi Yudin and Chachav Diash, meaning Rabbi Sukkah. If we only had the Machlokas with regard to Sukkah, Bahakam, Rabbi Yudin, here's where Rabbi Yudin thinks that the eye could catch even above Esrim Amma, Kevan Deli Yeshiva, Vida Shalta Ba'ena. When a person goes into the Sukkah, he sits in the Sukkah, and he looks around. You know, he looks at his house, like any time you're in your house, right? You look around, you look at the top, you look at the bottom. So therefore, you'll notice the schach, even if it's above Esrim Amma, that's Rabbi Yehuda. But Mavui, Mavui means I walk into the Mavui, I walk out of the Mavui, Lehiluch Avida, I'm only walking there, I'm not sitting there. Is Ema Modulu L'Rabbanan? Maybe in this case, Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's possible if the Korah is above Esrim Amma, the eye does not go all the way up above Esrim Amma, and the Hekera is lost. V'yashmina Baha, and if we only had the Mishnah here in Mavui, we would have thought, Bahaka Amri Rabbanan, why did Rabbanan passel a a Korah that's above Esrim Amo, that's because it's only Hiluch, and he won't notice something when he's running through the Mavuhi, you know, that's above Esrim Amo. Vahach, but in the case of Sukkah, where he's sitting in the Sukkah, Ema Modu Le'Rabbi Yehuda, maybe in that case he would hold that the eye and the eye sees even above Esrim Amo while he's sitting and living in the Sukkah for 7 days. Is Tricha, therefore I need both Mishnayos. The Gemara asks, "My Amaltura, what exactly is an Amaltura?" The two opinions, Rav Chama bereid Rav Bar Avramar, kine means a nest for birds, and very often the nest of a bird would be on a very high place. And in this case, what he did was on top of his korah, he put up kine, he put up these beautiful nests where the birds would come and sit. And these were prominent. For example, the Pesach HaUlam, on top of the Pesach HaUlam, top of the Pesach HaHechal. And therefore, a Korah, even if it's above Esrim Amo, if we're holding now like Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, that the issue is that of Hekera, he will notice this unusual nest of birds that's on top of the Esrim plus Amo Korah. And here we have Machlokas Rishonim. Some Rishonim hold that the Amaltara of Rav Chama is actually of physical birds. You know, there are birds there. The Rambam seems to say no, it's just a kind of an artistic creation of a remembrance of a resemblance of a kine. But Kiyosar of Dimi Omarava, no. They have a different understanding of Amaltura. Amaltura is Piskei the Arza. Remember we spoke about the Eitz Erez, a cedar tree, and they used to cut very wide beams, long, long beams of this Eitz Erez. And that stuck out. And they put one on top of the other. It was a beautiful architectural structure, and it caught the eye. So the Gemara analyzes Man, the Omar Piskei the Arza, Kolshkein Kine. Kine is even more profound. You know, a person is wondering, hey, look on top of there, there's birds there. You know, that's something that certainly catches the eye. But Man Diomar Kine, Aval Piskei the Arza Lo. Piskei the Arza would not be enough to be Machshir a Korah for a Mavui that's above Esrim Amo, because it's not as impressive, it doesn't catch the eye to the same extent that Kine would catch the eye. The Gemara asks now, Uman di Omar Piske di Arza, these pieces of wood that stick out and are on top of your wall and on top of the Korah, is my timer. Why is it that it would be effective even if the height of the Korah is above 20? Amar Yishum de Nafish Moshe, because they're very wide. So the Gemara asks, if that be the case, for a sukkah, nafish moshe? The sukkah is also quite long, right? You walk into a sukkah, and you look up on top, the schach is very long, from one end of the, you know, one dofen of the sukkah, all the way to the other dofen of the sukkah. And v'ka'amri rabbanan delo. Nevertheless, the Chachamim of Rabbi Yehuda passel a sukkah if the schach is above Esrim Amo. So it cannot be that the reason why Piskei the Arza is a Maltara and it's Machshir a Mavi above Esrim Amo is because of the length of these wooden beams. Ella, but rather came into Kachashiv Islei Kola. These are very expensive and fancy kinds of wood, the structure is wood, and it has a kol. Kol means that because it has such chashivas and it's worth so much, a lot of people talk about it. You know, like if you have a fancy piece of artwork, you know, people talk, oh, he owns a Rembrandt. You know, so here also, it has a kol. And that's why people are going to notice the Piskei the Arza, but that's not going to help you in the case of schach. Schach is not something that's so valuable and it has such a kol that people will notice. Now, we learned above that according to Chachamim, the Korah of a Mavui and of Schach, in the case of Sukkah, have to be up to, but not above Esrim Amma. Above Esrim Amma, they are Psulim. Now the Gemara wants to know what happens if part of the Schach, or part of the Korah, is below the 20 Amma line, but the other part, the thickness of it, is above Esrim Amma. Miktas Korah Besoch Esrim, Miktas Korah Lamalami Esrim. Part of this beam is within 20 amas. The other part on top is above 20. Or Miktas Schach Betoch Esrim, Miktas Schach Lamalami Esrim. Omar Rava Bemavui Kosher Besukah Posul. So right away we have to understand what is the underlying logic of Rava to distinguish between a Mavui where it's okay if the Korah goes above 20 amma, as long as part of the Korah is below 20 amma, and in Sukkah he passes it. Mara says, Maishno, what's the difference between Mavui de Kosher? Obviously, you're applying a principle called Amrino. We say Klosh. Klosh means disregard, ignore that part of the Korah that's above Esrim amma. Imagine it as if it didn't exist. And what you're left with is the Korah that's inside the Esrim amma. So if that be the case, and that's why Rabba's Machshir B'Mavui is B'Sukkanami Lema Klosh, why can't we apply the same logic to Sukkah? That part of the Schach that's above Esrim Amma, we should ignore as if it didn't exist. It's not Schach Posel, it's Schach Kosher, it's just that it's above the height of the Sukkah, above Esrim Amma, so it's Kamad the Lesser, don't you imagine that it doesn't exist? And the Gemara answer is no. We cannot apply the principle of Klosh to Sukkah, why not? If you would remove the schach that's on top of Esrim Amma above, havi lechamsa merubsa mitzelsa. If we look on the ground of the sukkah, we would see more sunlight than we would shade. And a sukkah that has more sun than shade is psula. And if you remove the top part of the schach above Esrim Amma, you're left with a very thin line of schach. Some Rishonim learn that if you're left with such a thin line of schach, then it would blow away. So that's not schach. So the Gemara says, Hachinami, apply the same logic to the Korah. Dikolasht, if you ignore the top part of the Korah, the thickness of the Korah that's above Esrim Amma, Habile Korah Hanitelis Beruah, then the Korah would blow away with the wind. And we hinted at this before, that under certain circumstances, the Korah has to be heavy enough that the wind would not blow it away, that it could even have a half of a brick that would sit on it and it wouldn't break. You need a certain durability to the Korah. Ella says the Gemara, Al-Karchach, Nasu kishipudim shal mateches, if you are, Rabba is being machshir, a mavui, when the Korah is half below Esrim Tvachim, the upper part of the Korah is above, it means that we view the Korah as one entity, as if it was made of metal, and Lamaisa, it's not going to blow away. What additional weight is going to prevent the wind from blowing away the Korah? It's that part of the Korah that's above Esrim Amma. But that's not the Machshir. The Machshir is going to be the part of the Korah, the second lower part of the Korah that's within Esrim Amma. But nevertheless, if you're asking me about whether or not this Korah would blow away, the answer is that the top part of the Korah, which is above Esrim Amma, is going to prevent it by giving extra weight from blowing away. It's Hachinami. Why not apply the same logic to Sukkah? Al Karchach, now that we have Schach that's above Esrim Amma, Nasei Tzilso Merubso Micham, so we'll certainly have more shade in the Sukkah than sun, and therefore we should be Machshir. Why does Rabbi say it's possible? Omar Rava Mipar Zakya. Sukkah de Yochid Hilo Midkar, Mavui de Rabim Madkare Adodi. In the case of a sukkah, who's using the sukkah? An individual, or perhaps a member of one single family. And therefore, if part of the schach is below Esrim Amma, but part of the schach is above Esrim Amma, then we have to be afraid that maybe the part above the schach, above the 20 amma line, is blown away, and no one's going to make note of it. No one's going to remind anyone, hey, look, we're left with a thin amount of schach. which is below Esra Mamma, but it doesn't afford us with enough shit. But Mavi de la Rabim, a Mavi means that all the people from all the Batim that spill into the Chatzeros, from the Chatzeros into the Mavi, that's a public area. It's Madkere Adodi. If some part of the Korah would get lost, you know, it'd get ruined, and we're going to see now that it's above Esrim Amo or something like that, then everybody's going to remind each other and we'll fix up the Mavi. That's Rava. Ravina Amar, Sukkah do Raisa, Achmiru Bei Rabbanon. But Mavi de Rabbanon, lo Achmiru Bei Rabbanon. The reason for Rava to be Machshir in the case of Mavui, which is only Durabana, because as we said before, Midoraisa, a Mavui has three mechitzos, and therefore you're allowed to carry there. The Rabbana were afraid that you might confuse it with a Rishus Rabin. So in a case of a Durabana, okay, part of the Korah is above Esrim Amo, and maybe, you know, we have to worry about the fact that something is going to go wrong here with this Korah. Maybe the bottom part of the Korah, which is below Esrim Amo, will rot away or something along that line, but that's only Durabanan. So in Durabanan, we don't have to be so machmir. But in Sukkah d'Oraisa, where there's a possibility that the top part of the schach, which is above Esrim Amo, might fly away in the wind, and lo and behold, it became Chamsa Merubsa Mitzilsa, that we have to be more machmir about it. So we have these two approaches of Rav and Ravina to explain Rav. Now the Gemara presents an entirely antithetical version of Rabba. And that's Rav Adar Bar Masna Masna Elai Shmaita de Rabba Ibcha. He has the transmission of Rabba, just the opposite. Omar Rabba b'mavui posel b'sukkah k'shera. On the contrary, if part of the Korah is above Esrim Amo, that posels the mavui and posels the Korah. But if in Sukkah part of the Schach is above Esrim Amo, k'shera. So the Gemara is going to ask the same question that we asked before. Maishna Sukkah Dikshera. Why is it in the case of Sukkah, we could be Machshir the Sukkah according to this version of Rava the Amrinan Klosh, because we're going to imagine that the top Schach doesn't exist, that we have the lower level of Schach, which is within Esrim Amo, is Mavui Nama Yinema Klosh. Why don't we apply the same principle to Mavui and imagine the top part of the Korah as if it didn't exist? And the Gemara answers, Ikalsht. In the case of a Korah, if you want to thin out the Korah and imagine that the top part of the Korah above Esrim Amo didn't exist, Havile Korah Nitelus Beruach, then the wind is going to blow away the Korah. So when it says, Hachinami Ikalsht, in the case of Schach, if you imagine that the top part of the Schach is non-existent, is Havile Chamsa Merubsa Mitzelsa be too much sunlight? El Al Korcho, we're going to have to say a different Svar. And what is that? That nase silosa mirubsa michamsa, that we can add and integrate the top part of the schach that's above Esrim Amo with the bottom part of the schach below Esrim Amo to create selsa mirubsa michamsa. It's hochinami. Let's apply the same logic to Mavui. Why does Rav apostle it in Mavui mitzas? Why not integrate the top part of the Korah as extra weight on the Korah, and it's going to guarantee that the Korah will not fly away in the wind? In the case of Sukkah, the entire responsibility for the Sukkah and the Hechshar HaSukkah falls on my personal shoulders. And therefore, I'm going to be constantly paying attention and supervising to make sure that the bottom schach below Esrim Amo is there. It's existing. And the sukkah is kshera. But Mavui, dila rabim hi. You know, I don't have to pay attention when I walk through the Mavui to see whether the Korah, you know, has a button payas, you know, whether it's kosher or not. I'll rely on somebody else. Samchi adodi v'lo mitkari. Each guy passes the buck. And he relies on somebody else. Kenamri Inchi, we have an idiomatic phrase that's a mushal for this idea. Kidera debe shutve lo chamima velo krira. If you have partners and they're cooking something on the fire, it's not going to be hot, it's not going to be cold. You know, it's each person is going to rely on the next person. And, you know, too many, how did we say in English? Too many cooks spoil the broth. Ravina Omar, Ravina gives an additional distinction between Sukkah and Mavui. Sukkah de'oraisa loboy chizuk. Everybody's going to be very careful about Sukkah to make sure that they fulfill the mitzvah of Sukkah. We don't have to make a gzera in the case where the schach that's part of the schach is above Esrei Mamma. Mavui de'rabanan, boy chizuk. When it comes to a de'rabanan, we need extra strength. You know, chachoma machmir in a de'rabanan, like the Gemara says at the beginning of Beitzah, Muktzah and Nolad is more chamur on Yontif than it is on Shabbos, because since Yontif is not as chamur as Shabbos, we might be more mekel here also. In a drabanan, we need chizuk. My havyalo, what's the final decision, la'aloch, in the case where part of the Korah is above Esrei Mamma and part is below Esrei Mamma? On that we have machlokas amoroim la'alocha. Rabba bar Rav Ula amar zev zev posul. In other words, zev zev means both. In the case of Mavui and in the case of Sukkah, if part of it is above Esrei Mamma, it's possible. Rav Amar Zev Zeh Kosher. In other words, whether it's a Mavui or whether it's a Sukkah, if Miktasam is Betoch Esrei Mamma, that's enough and it's Kosher. Now we turn to Daf Gimel Amid Beis, and the Gemara explains Rabba's logic. And that is Halal Sukkah Tanan, Halal Mavui Tanan. When it says in the Mishnah that Lamala mi Esrei Mamma is possible, what it means is that we have to have an airspace, that's called a halal, between the ground and the top of the korah, meaning the bottom part of the korah or the bottom part of the schach of Esrei Mamma. So that means that the korah itself could be above Esrei Mamma. Why? Because if the korah is at the point of Esrei Mamma and the korah goes above Esrei Mamma, it still guarantees that the halal, the airspace, is less than Esrei Mamma. And if that be the case, then there's no reason to disqualify a korah that's above, that's partially above Esrei Mamma, because from Rava's perspective, even if the korah would have been completely, totally above Esrei Mamma, as long as the halal, the airspace between the ground and the bottom of the korah is less than 20 amma, or equal to 20 amma, I should say, then it's kosher. And the same thing applies to sukkah. So the halach only requires that there be a halal up to, but not greater than, not taller than Esrei Mamma. Amalei Rav Papa L'Rav Tanya de Messiah. I have a brisa to support your words, Rav. Why? Because the brisa says, "Mavui shu gavoa mi Esrei Mamma, yoseh mi pischo shel heichal yemait." And the language of this brisa seems to indicate that heichal gufo chalolo Esrei Mamma, that we can equate the korah with the pischo shel heichal, and in the case of the pischo shel heichal, it actually had a halal of Esrei Mamma. So therefore the Mavui, which is going to be equated to the Pesach HaHeichal, likewise could have a halal, an airspace that's 20 amos from the ground. Esve, the Gemara asks, Kasher Rav Shimi Bar Rav, Bar Rav Ashi L'Rav Popo. We have a brisa with regard to a Mavui, that the Korah is above Esrei Mamma, and he wants to be Matir in this brisa, he wants to be Matir the Korah, Ketzad Oya Oseh, Meniach Korah Misfas Esrim Ulemata. The Lashon HaBraisa seems to indicate that the thickness of the Korah has to be inside of Esrim Amma. That's called Misfas Esrim Ulemata. Now, if you're telling me that the Halal could be Esrim Amma, then why does the Braisa say that the Korah has to be Misfas Esrim Ulemata from that point, which is 20 amas above the ground and below? So the Gemara answers, Ema, we have to reinterpret this braisa. It means ulamala. It cannot be from the point of Esrim Amma and above. So the Gemara immediately attacks for lamata katani. You can't cross out the word lamala and substitute the word lamata. So the Gemara answers, Hakamashma de lamata kilamala. We have a shear and a mavui, both lamala in terms of its height, the maximum height that it could be, which is up to but not beyond 20 amma, that's okay, but not beyond 20 amma. And then we have a maximum, and then we have a minimum height, right? The korah can't be below asara tfachim, all right? So the korah, if it's below asara tfachim from the ground, is possible. And malo malo chalol esrim aflo mato chalol asora. The Braisa wants to set up an equation between lamala and lamata, that just like in the case of lamala, you can allow and validate if the halal is esrim, so too lamata you can validate if you have a halal of asara. So the shear of lamata in the case of asara tfachim is in the halal of the above the airspace. There shouldn't be airspace between the floor, the ground, and the korah of less than 10 tfachim. So therefore, you have to make sure and guarantee that the korah is from asara tfachim and above, and then you've guaranteed yourself that there's a halal of 10 tfachim. Okay, Rabbi, so now we're going to begin a sugya that's going to occupy our minds for the balance of the daf today, and for Mirtz Hashem, daf dalid as well. And that is, what's the shear of an amma? Now, we classically assume that an amma could be broken down into tfachim, and that's true. But how many tfachim? There are two types of ammas. There's what's called an amma gdola, a larger amma, that's made up of six tfachim. Also has another phrase called Amma Shel Moshe. And there's an Amma Ketana, which is made up of five Tefachim. And both of these Shi'urim of Amma are mentioned in a pasuk in Sefer Yechezkel, which Gemara is going to quote later on at Daf Dalet. Amar Abaye, Mishmei Rav Nachman. Amas Sukkah, the Amas Mavui, the Amma Bas Chamisha. But Amas Kilayim be Amma Bas Shisha. We're going to make a distinction, says Abaye, in the name of Rav Nachman, between Sukkah and Mavli on the one hand and Kilayim on the other hand. And we're always going to go L'chumra. In the cases of Sukkah and Mavli, if we measure the Amma L'chumra, we're going to use the Amma that's made up of five Tefachim. In Kilayim, we're going to go L'chumra, and we're going to use the Amma that's made up of six Tfachim. And the Gemara is going to explain why, in the cases of Mavui and Sukkah, L'chumra gives you the smaller Amma, five Tfachim, whereas in the case of Kilayim, the Chumra gives you the Amma Gedola of six Tfachim. The Gemara says, Amas Mavui bi Amma bas chamisha l'may hilchusa. What Chumra does Abaye, in the name of Rav Nachman, have in mind when he says that we have to use the Amma Ketana, five Tfachim, to calculate a Mavui? The answer is Ligovo. First answer is Ligovo. It means that we're talking about a psul to disqualify the Korah if it's above Esrim Amma. Now, if we take the Lechumra, we're going to take the Amma Ketana of five Tfachim, because the Amma Ketana of five Tfachim is going to give you a shear of 100 tfachim, right? Because you have 20 tfachim, 20 amos, excuse me. Each am is made up of 5 tfachim. Is 5 times 20 is 100. If we would have used, excuse me, an amogdol of 6 tfachim, then it would be 120 tfachim. And then you could be machshir the mavui with a korah that's 20 tfachim higher than the one that's actually possible in our mission, because our mission L'chumra, says Rav Nachman, is going to be using the Amma Ketana of 5 tfachim. And L'pirtzas Mavui. The Gemara later on is going to tell us that if there's a wide opening, an entranceway into the Mavui that's too wide, it's more than 10 amos wide, the Mavui is possible, and you're not allowed to carry in that Mavui. And again, we're going to be machmir, we're going to say that we need only the 10 amos ktanos of 5 tfachim, meaning 50 tfachim, as opposed to, and that's already, anything more than 50 tfachim is already called a pirtz, is going to disqualify the Mavui, as opposed to the larger amma of 6 tfachim, which would require 60 tfachim in order to be possible. So again, we're going L'chumra by using the Amma Ketana in Mavui. So the Gemara objects, Va'ika meshech mavui bi'arba amos dilakula. Meshech mavui means, let's say, for example, you enter into the mavui through the Rishus Rabbim into the entranceway. And the mavui is this alleyway. The length of the alleyway, says the Gemara later on in Daf Hey, has to be a minimum of 4 amos. And only then could you be matir carrying in the mavui with a lechi or a korah. Now you're going to use an amah ktana to multiply the 4 amos minimum of the length of the mavui times 5, and that's going to give you 20 tfachim. So you're going to tell me that if it's 20 tfachim deep, then it's nita and you can be machshir it with a lechi nekora. That's a kula. Because if you were to take the amah gdola of 6 tfachim, you multiply 4 times 6, you would need an extra 4 tfachim. So why did Rav Nachman says that the dinim of mavui are measured by the amah ktana? He's not being consistent, l'chumra. So Gemara answers, Keman di omar bi arba tfachim. There are two different shitos later on in Daf Hey as to what the minimum length of a mavui is in order to be matarit belechi korit. And Rav Yosef later on is going to be quoted as saying that all you need is 4 tfachim. So therefore, we're not dealing with Amma at all. We're only dealing with Tfachim. Iboy, same, another answer is Biarba Amos. Enochinami, Rav Nachman could hold like the Shita Lechumra, that you need a minimum length or depth into the Mavui, as you enter to Mavui, of 4 Amos. If that be the case, then Lechumra, you're going to have to require an Amma Gedola of 6 Tfachim. Enochinami. But when Rav Nachman made his statement about Amma of a Mavui, Bas Chamisha Tfachim, he was Rov Amos Ka'omar. He meant to say that most calculations for the laws of Mavui, like we saw before, Legovo Ulapritzas Mavui, are based on the smaller Amma. That's called Rov Amos Ka'omar. Enochinami, in the case of the Meshech Mavui, we're going to go Lechumra with the Amma of 6 Tfachim. Now let's go on to Rav Nachman's case of Amma Sukkah bi Amma Bas Chamisha Tfachim L'may Hilchasa. Why is he taking the smaller Amma L'chumra in the case of Sukkah? Number one, L'gova. As we said before, if it's above, the Schach is above Esrim Amma, it's Pasul. And we're going to take now the smaller Amma, so that already with 100 Tfachim, the Sukkah is going to be Psula, if the Schach is above 100 Tfachim, rather than 120 Tfachim. And Ula Dofen Akuma. There's halacha Moshe Sinai called Dofen Akuma, which means that if you have a ceiling and there's a hole in the ceiling, but there's still parts of the ceiling to the right and to the left, you fill up the hole with schach, but the schach is not connected to the dofen, the vertical walls, because the schach is connected to part of the roof on the right and the left. So the halacha is, it depends what the size of that extra roof is. If that extra roof is more than 4 amos, then the sukkah is psula. But if it's less than 4 amos, we apply a rule called dofen akuma, which means we imagine as if the dofen asukkah curves inwardly towards the schach, and the schach is really now connected to the korah, and therefore the sukkah is kshera. Here, in this case, we're talking again an amma to pasul, because if it's 4 amos in that part of the roof that still exists, then the sukkah is psula. And we're going to take the smaller amma that will multiply 4 by 5 tfachim, and already with 20 tfachim, it undermines and disqualifies the sukkah because it's no longer dofen akuma. So Gemara asks, va'ika meshach sukkah. What about the inner dimensions, the minimum dimensions of a sukkah? The Arba Amos, this is the opinion of Rebbe in Masechta Sukkah, that a sukkah has to have a minimum size, a width of Arba Amos. And now when you're talking about a minimum size, then if you use a smaller medida, smaller Amos, then you're going Lakula. You cannot use the smaller Amos, meaning the Amos 4 Tvachim Lakula. The Sanya, we have a Bryce that says Rebbe Omer, Omer Ani Kol sukkah she'ein bo arba amas al arba amas psula. The minimum dimensions or size of the sukkah is got to be 4 square amos. And if Rav Nachman, assuming that Rav Nachman accepts this principle of Rebbe, then by using an amo ktana of 5 tfachim, he's being mekil, and he's going to already be machshir, he's qualifying the sukkah, with 4 amos ktano square, which means 4 times 5 is 20 tfachim. 20 tfachim by 20 tfachim is a lot less than 24 tfachim by 20 tfachim, and you're already being machshir the sukkah. How can you apply the principle of amo ktana li kula? We only apply amo ktana lechumra. The Gemara offers 2 answers. One answer is kirabanan. Rav Nachman never accepted the principle of Rebbe. He accepted the dissenting view of the Chachamim. De afilu enam achzekes el rosho verubo vishulchano. If your head and your body could go in together with your table, which is called shiva tfachim by shiva tfachim, kshera. So now we don't have a loch of amos with regard to the minimum size of a sukkah, but rather the Chachamim have a loch of tfachim. So therefore, Rav Nachman doesn't have to set up any exception to the rule of an amok tana in sukkah because he accepts the shita of the Chachamim, by saying a second answer liolam Rebbe, even if we want to assume that Rav Nachman holds like Rebbe. And the minimum shear of a sukkah is 4 amos square. And therefore, we're going to have to use l'chumra, the amah gdola of 6 tfachim, is rov amos ka'amar, that which Rav Nachman said, that in sukkah we use the amah ketana. He meant in most cases, like for example, with regard to gova and with regard to dofen akuma, but with regard to meshech sukkah, enochinami, he's going to have to apply the principle of amah gdola. Now we go over to Amas Kelayim. Rav Nachman had said that the Amas Kelayim, L'chumra, is the Amma Bas Shisha, L'mai Hilchusa. What is this Chumra and Kelayim that we're going to use the larger Amma? And the Gemara answers, L'karachas HaKerem U'Lemechol HaKerem. These are 2 different halachas with regard to Kelayim. Kelay HaKerem means that you have a field which is planted as vines, and you're not allowed to plant Zeroyim, or chitim, and so forth, within 4 amos of the vines. You have to be marchik 4 amos minimum, otherwise it becomes kelayim. It means that both the tvua, or the zroim that you planted, and the vineyards, they all become osami din kelayim. And there's only 2 exceptions to the rule. There are only 2 scenarios in which we're going to allow you to plant zroim close to the keren, without requiring the harchaka of 4 amos. And those are called, respectively, Kerachas HaKerem and Mechol HaKerem. Now, in both cases of Kerachas HaKerem and Mechol HaKerem, we have a certain area in this vineyard which is desolate, meaning it has nothing planted there. And if that area is large enough, then it becomes, so to speak, a sada unto itself. It's a separate entity. And you can plant zroim in there. This nan we learned in the Mishnah in Kelayim, kerachas hakerem. Now, the word kerachas, which means bald, means that there's an area in the vineyard that's actually bald. It means it has no vines growing in it. What is the minimum size of a kerachas hakerem where there's no vines growing there, that you're allowed to plant zroim there? And that's machlokas beisil beit shammai. Beit shammai omrim esrim vi arba amos. In other words, if you take the most western row of vines and the most eastern row of vines, they are separated by an area of 24 amos of kirachas. So there's 24 amos between the 2 rows, the closest 2 rows. And Beit Shammai says, once you have this minimum of 24 amos of kerachas, then you're allowed to plant zroim. If, on the other hand, the distance between the 2 rows of gefanim is less than 24 amos, you're not allowed to plant anything there at all. Beis Hillel Omrim, however, Sheshesrei Amos. That if the distance between the two rows of Gefanim is 16 Amos, then already it's called the Kirechas HaKerem, and you're allowed to plant them. We have a similar machlokas in the case of Mechol HaKerem. Mechol HaKerem, the word Mechol meaning like a dancing that goes around and around on the outside of something, like at the Mishnah at the end of Tainis for Tuvahav. Anyway, so the Mechol HaKerem is the area that is bald, again, between the most outermost row of vines and the wall. Every vineyard has a wall that surrounds it. And if the distance between that wall and the closest row of vines is large enough, then you're allowed to plant there. That's called Mechol HaKerem. How much of a distance is there between the wall and the nearest row of vines? Beit Shammai Omrim Sheshesrei Amos, 16 Amos. And Beis Hillel Omrim Shtemesrei Amos. All you need is 12 Amos. And the Mishnah explains, Ezo hi Kerachas HaKerem. What's the case of Kerachas HaKerem concerning which we have a machlokes Beis Hillel Beit Shammai? Kerem Shecharav Emtza Iso. As we said before, Charav means it's desolate. It's not planted in the middle. So there's an empty space in the middle. And according to Beis Hillel, Ein Shom Sheshesrei Amos, that if you have less than 16 Amos between one row of vines and the other, Lo Yavi Zera L'Sham, but Im Hoya Sheshesrei Amo, if there's a distance of 16 Amo between the rows of the Gefanim, the closest rows, then No Sein Lo Kidei Avodoso. Then you have to remove yourself from the closest vine by what's called Kidei Avodoso. Kidei Avodoso, which is the space that we need for the wagon that's being carried by the animals to go around so that we could harvest the vines. That's called Betziras HaNovim. And that's called 4 Amos. So we move 4 Amos away from the closest row towards the middle. And what we're going to have is now 8 Amos that is not planted. And that's where you're going to be able to plant. How do I get 8 Amos? After all, they still say 16 Amos. The answer is, on both sides, I need 4 Amos. We're in the middle of the vineyard. So on the right side, we have to be Marchik 4 Amos, which is Kedei Avodoso. And on the left side, we have to be Marchik 4 Amos, Kedei Avodoso. So when we subtract 4 Amos on this and 4 Amos on this side, we're left with 8 Amos in the middle. And 8 Amos is a significant amount of territory, of area, such that now it becomes a sada, a field unto itself, worthy of being planted. It's not batel, it's not part of the kerem, and therefore I can plant zroim v'zorea es hamosar. Now the Mishnah continues, v'ezehu mechol kerem is bein kerem legoder, right? We have the goder, the fence, the kosel that we mentioned before that surrounds the entire vineyard, and there is a certain empty space between the kosel, right, or otherwise known as the goder, that surrounds the vineyard, and the nearest vine, the nearest row of vines, Ein Shom Shtemisrei Amo Lo Yavi Zera L'Sham, but Hayusham Shtemisrei Amo No Sein Lo Kidei Avodos V'Zoreas Hashar. And here Beis Hillel say that if you have less of an area of 12 Amos, then you're not allowed to plant in that area. So what are we going to need? We're going to need the following. We're going to need Hayusham Shtemisrei Amo. Now, 4 times 3 is 12. Why do I say 4 times 3 is 12? How do we get this calculation of 12 Amos? there's always going to be a 4 amah distance from the field to the kosel. Now, in order to understand that, we'd have to learn a little bit more about kalayim, but suffice it to say that this kosel has to stand. We don't want it to fall. And in order to strengthen it, we need a 4 amah distance. That's called davsha. It's when people trample on the ground, it actually strengthens the ground and therefore strengthens the kosel. So we have to be marchik 4 amahs from the kosel. In addition, we have to be marchik 4 amahs from the closest row of vines, because that's kedei avodasa, to allow for the animals to go around and do the harvest. And now in between those 4 amahs near the kosel and those 4 amahs near the vine, we have a 4 amahs area, and that area is enough to constitute a field unto itself, and you can plant zeroim there. Again, why is it that in this case of mechol hakerem, you need nothing more than 4 amos? And in the case of kerachas hakerem, we needed 8 amos. That has to do with the fact that these 4 amos, in the case of mechol hakerem, are close to the kosel. And therefore, if they're close to the kosel, they already are separated from the rest of the vine, and they can form a separate entity. So the Gemara says that in these cases, the shear of Amma for Karechas HaKerem and Mechol HaKerem, we're going to be Machmir, and we're going to require Amos Gedolos. We're going to require the Amma that's made up of 6 Tfachim, says Rav Nachman. Why? Because we want to be Mekil, we want to come up with a Kula, that if you have an area that's separated without vines on it, you're allowed to plant Tvua and Zroim. So for that, we're going to have to use a larger area. We're going to have to use an Amma that's made up of 6 Tvachim. Now, if anyone could stay one more minute, that's Tavol of Bracha. I just want to see if we can just fit in another, just to say that we finished the daf. Va'ika Ritzufim Bi'arba Amos Lekula Dilekula. We have halacha that if the rows of vines are planted too close together, within 4 amos, then that's not the normal way you plant a vine, and we assume that you're going to get rid of these vines eventually, and therefore there's no isur to plant zroim close to that vine. Disnan kerem anatu al pochos mi arbabas Rabbi Shimon Omer eno kerem chacham onu kerem v'roim esan tzom kilu eno. So although Chachamim imagine that in the future we're going to remove these vines, so this kerem is a valid kerem and you can't plant zroim, but Rabbi Shimon for his part says that if we measure 4 amos between one row of vines and the other, that's already an unusual way of planting a kerem, and that's not a call to kerem, and therefore you're allowed to plant zroim. Now if you're going to use an amah of 6 Tfachim, then you're going to be Mekil, because you're going to say that if you have a distance, let's say 4 amos times, let's say 6 is 24 Tfachim, right? There's just 1 second. Pochos mi arba am. Oh, that in order to be machmir and considered a kerem, it's pochos mi'arba amos. So now if you're going to use the larger shear of the ama, then you're going to be mekel. Because if you're going to say that between the shuros there's a space of a shear of arba amos ktanos, and it's not considered a kerem, you're allowed to be Zoreah with 5 tfachim's worth of amos. So our answer is Kirabbanon. The Rav Nachman holds like the Chacham di Amri Havi Kerem, that even if you plant rows of vines close to each other, it still is considered a kerem. Ibois Ema Li Olam Kirabi Shimon Rov Amos Ka'amar. Even if I want to reconcile Rav Nachman with Rav Shimon, I could say that Rav Nachman's statement about using an Am of 6 Tfachim to measure kalayim, he meant rov amos for most of the halachas, as we discussed before, the kerachas hakerem and the mechol hakerem. But the exception to the rule is going to be the case of ritzufin, and that's where we're going to end for today. And we're up to Rava Mishmei de Rav Nachman.